Dominic is gurgling water over here. I said, sit here. And I said, don't distract me. And here he is.
You didn't say the second part.
Hi, everyone. My name is Carissa. Welcome back to Bookmarked. Oh, my goodness. All right. So we just listened to Stray by Yellow House. And today I have a super fun, super, super fun time planned. I am joined by Dominic again, 2 weeks in a row. That's crazy.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Dominic.
I hope you aren't sick of me yet, because I'll be here for many more weeks to come.
And wonderful.
I'm so excited, you guys. Yay!
Okay, so let me tell you about Dominic to get started.
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Dominic's show, Independent Incidentals, is right after my show, and we did that on purpose so that we once in a while we'd be able to kind of go between shows. You know, we're friends. We had a little rivalry back in first year, but it's sorted.
Back in the day, we kind of had a little bit of beef with Noob Destroyer Daniel. Well, you know what? At least we've made up. I don't know about him. I think he still hates your guts, but you know what? That's okay.
Daniel doesn't hate me.
I think Daniel puts up with you. You know what I'm saying?
Daniel, okay. I don't think he's listening, but if he is, hello, Daniel. How are you doing? Second,
hope the show goes well for you.
I saw Daniel the other day, and you know what he said? He said, he's like, hey, and I'm like, oh, hi, how are you? He's like, good. And he's like, have you listened to the new Taylor Swift album? And I went, yes, I have. And he says to me, I'm not going to tell you what I think of it, because I don't think it'll make you very happy.
That's character development right there, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go.
That's character development.
Oh my God. Because he actually, it's so funny. So this was after Life of a Showgirl, which just came out. And he also texted me when the last album came out too, which was the Tortured Poets Department. I remember it was midnight. I was listening to it, and I think I had maybe been listening for a half hour. And Daniel texts me. He's like, "Are you listening to the album?" It's like, "Are you? Are you listening to the album, Daniel?"
Let me tell you guys something. He is Taylor Swift's biggest hater. And I think you need to have some of those.
This is my number one thing that I've been saying recently, is that when I don't like an artist, I don't listen to their new album. I don't know their new album. I don't know their songs. I don't even know when the last time they released an album is, because I don't like them. So I don't care. Everybody is so caught up on hating her. I'm like, if you hate her so much, then why are you obsessed with her?
Because they get some sort of delicious dopamine from just the idea of making someone sad. You know what I'm saying?
That's brutal. You guys should be happier.
That's what I'm saying.
On that note,
spread positivity, not negativity. Anyway.
On that note, I'm going to kind of introduce what we're doing here today. So Dominic came into the studio and he was like, oh, I'm early. And I'm like, oh, do you want to stay? And he's like, well, if you have something for me. And I was like, I don't, but you can sit here and observe and comment when necessary. So that is what Dominic is doing today.
I'm here. And look, I've been working from 9 to 5 like a good boy. And now I'm here. I traversed all the way from the metropolitan hellscape of Toronto all the way to the nice, cozy, comfy of...
And that's your time. So, so today we're going to be going over a book series called All the Young Dudes. And...
Oh, you put it on the other one. I was going to do the cheer. Yeah, just for that. There you go.
Thank you. Okay, so last week I had said that Kira was going to be here and we were going to do Harry Potter. Well, that is getting postponed to after reading week. Kira is still going to be here. We are going to do Harry Potter. I'm actually very excited for that night.
Yay.
Because we have been talking about doing that since last year.
What's your guys' favorite house? Post it in the comments below.
Your favorite Hogwarts house?
Yeah.
What's yours?
Ravenclaw.
You're a Ravenclaw?
I don't know if I am a Ravenclaw.
Are you serious?
It's
funny. I wouldn't have guessed that. I feel like...
Slytherin? You think I'm Slytherin?
No, I think you're a Hufflepuff.
What the hell is your problem?
What's wrong with being a Hufflepuff?
They're stupid!
Whoa!
They got no brain cells!
That's not true.
It is true.
They're kind. I think you're a very nice person.
I'm not kind. What kind of... I don't understand that.
I'm a tough guy.
I don't. That's I'm not saying like, what I'm.
My name is Dominic. Look at these muscles. I feel like
I got a little bit more brains to constitute
I'm a mean guy. I'm mean.
I'm just saying. I've never read the books, by the way, but I'm just saying that Ravenclaw, I feel like they got a little bit more chutzpah, a little bit more brains. You know what I'm saying?
So while I am going over everything to do with this book, Dominic is going to be taking the official Pottermore sorting hat quiz, and he's going to figure out what house he's
good,
in.
And I'll be able to righteously claim my Ravenclaw pride.
If you get Hufflepuff, I'm going to die.
I will leave the show if I get Hufflepuff. Stay tuned.
Okay. Like, Dominic just never comes back, and then you'll know. Yeah, Everyone will know. Oh, my God. Okay. So, we're not technically doing Harry Potter this week, but we are kind of doing an extension of Harry Potter. So, the books that... Let me get into this books, because it's kind of a lot of lore. The books are called All the Young Dudes, and they're not real books. So, they're real. I know...
What do you mean by that, Carissa? Could you explain?
Yes.
Books.
So the books were originally published on AO3, which is fan fiction.
Sounds like a book to me. It has words in it.
They're self-published. So they're available online, which you can read on AO3. And then they're also available, well, I'm pretty sure it's illegal, but I printed them off of, it's called Lulu. It's a self-printing website. And I found the link with the document and the correct cover sizing and the cover art and everything.
So wait, you can get any PDF and then give it to them and
they'll make it into a book.
That's insane. I've never heard of this before.
Right? That's how I guess authors would self-publish their books as well. So if you ever have someone who writes a book and they're wanting to kind of make like a copy of it or like what are they like a prototype?
Prototype, yeah.
So they would do it like that. So basically, I found the stuff through TikTok because I had been hearing about the book, and this was back in 2021, I think. And I found, because 2021 was when TikTok was really big with Harry Potter TikTok, and I was all for that.
The book talk, they call it, you see.
Book talk.
Yep.
I started, really reading in 2021, but I read Harry Potter when I was in grade 8 for the first time. I would have been 13. Seven years ago. What year was that? 2018?
2018.
2018. So
we're both born in 2005.
Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Okay. So basically, I found all this stuff and then I got this book printed. And I have, there's three books though. So book one is from years 1 to 4. And then book two is 5 to 7. And book three is everything post-war. And I reread...
Wait. Could you... Post-war?
I'll explain that, but...
Okay, that's for a future food.
Yeah, so it's called All the Young Dudes, and it's a story about the Marauders. So the Marauders are Harry Potter's father and his three best friends. But it's told from the point of view of Remus Lupin. So it's not like James Potter. It's from the point of view of Remus Lupin, and he's talking, like, and it's his experience through school and through the war. And then it stops when he dies. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert!
So when he dies in the Second Wizarding War. So this one goes through, this is the First Wizarding War, which they assume they win after Harry survives. But then you kind of get to see Remus's perspective when his two best friends, like James and Lily, are murdered. His, like the love of his life, basically his other half, Sirius, is accused of murdering his two best friends, the person he basically trusted the most in the world. His other best friend was murdered by his supposed love of his life. And then his other friends, Marlene, she was murdered during the war as well. So she's dead. There's one other person who survives, which is Mary MacDonald. Mary MacDonald ends up dying in the Second Wizarding World too, so Remus kind of loses everybody. But Mary and Remus aren't even close anymore after the war because of everything that happened. And it kind of gets revealed at the very last book that Remus and, Sirius and James had thought that Remus was the spy. So basically, every single one of Remus's friends are dead, and he has to live with the idea that the love of his life murdered his friends, and everybody thought that he was the spy. So his friends died thinking that he was the traitor that killed them all.
This doesn't sound like a Harry Potter book.
It doesn't.
Which is good.
Yes.
It's a very good step in the right direction. So if I was making a fan fiction that was going to eventually become a phenomenon within the fan fiction realm, you don't want to make it sound like J.K. Rowling's writing.
No.
That's for sure.
And one of the most common things that I hear about this too, and I see this all the time, is people saying that, so the author's name is Miss King Bean 89. It's a code name, guys.
It's a good name.
One second. I just need to cough. Good thing I'm the editor and that will be gone.
No, I'm going to talk about it still. You coughed, by the way.
That's a live show special. So one of the things that people say is that Miss King Bean could write the Harry Potter series, but J.K. Rowling could never write all the young dudes. And that's one of my favorite things, because this book is fantastic. And I've never read another series that is quite like this one. And I reread it every single year. I was just telling Dominic that I've probably read it around 5 times now.
Which is insane, by the way. I just want everyone to know that that's I've never read a book more than 3 times in my life. And the fact that you, I mean, look, to be fair, it's one of the best books.
It's my favorite. Other than, I would say, The Song of Achilles, which is my other favorite book, I talk about that all the time. This is definitely my favorite book of all time. So I always read it during fall. So at the beginning of the school year, it's either September or October. I started in September this year, and I say, I'm ready to be depressed for the next few months.
It's the depressing season. I don't see why not. Yes. Get a nice little beautiful betrayal and blaming of crimes against Remus.
It's a very, very depressing and heavy book, I find, which is kind of like, one of the things, okay, I want to explain this because I think it's very interesting. It's about myself. I would consider myself very much an optimist. Like, I am always like seeing the bright side of something like that. Like, that's kind of me. I try to always be happy. I try to like I have a sunshine tattoo. My sister and I are like, we have sun and moon tattoos because I'm the sun, she's the moon. Like, very golden retriever compared to Black Cat in the most part. But the music that I listen to and the books that I read are all devastating. I don't know what it is, but like,
yeah,
I would consider myself on the whole like a more happy person, but oh my God, this is like, this book is so unbelievably depressing, and same with the music that I'm listening to.
I feel like it provides good balance in my opinion. If you,
like,
you know.
I like that, like, I try to keep my life happy, but I can have like this, the content that I'm consuming be. Like,
exactly.
Sad, you know?
I feel like on the other hand, I am a very big pessimist. However, I read a lot of optimistic books.
There you go. Look at that.
It works both ways. Well, I mean, a bit of both, but you know. Mostly pessimistically optimistic books.
Right. Okay. We'll get to that eventually.
Fun.
One day we'll talk about this series of yours. So back into this. Yes, there are 3 books. I reread them every year in fall, and they're super, super depressing. Definitely one of, like, again, one of the saddest books I read. Sometimes I'll just be thinking about it and I'll start crying, which is kind of, I think that's really funny.
That's when you know it's a good story, though. When you can think back to it and start, like, having a little bit of it's the same thing with Terry Pratchett, man. Every time.
It makes me very emotional. And there was the other night I was reading and I got to this one chapter. And it's a really important scene in the book, but it's really easily overlooked if you're not, like, kind of, if you don't understand it properly. Mm. I told my roommates all about it because I'm like, I just need to tell somebody this. But I had to stop reading for a minute. And if I don't want to go super far into the details, because it's not going to make sense for anybody who hasn't read this.
Let alone someone who's never, ever touched Harry Potter in their entire life.
In their entire life.
So it's going to be.
But the book and it's set in the 70s, right? And it's in Britain, and Remus, the main character, he's gay. And he's kind of in his process of becoming for half of this, and Sirius Black. Dominic is gurgling water over here. I said, sit here, and I said, don't distract me. And here he is.
He didn't say the second part. I didn't hear the second part.
So Sirius Black and Remus are both technically gay in the series. Remus is bi and Sirius is gay, but neither of them kind of, like, Sirius takes a lot longer to kind of come into acceptance of that than Remus does. Remus kind of knows, like, subconsciously for a while, but it really, like, he kind of really understands what that means for him in fifth year. And, or, sorry, not in fifth year, when he was 15. So at the end of fourth year. And there's this one scene on Remus's birthday. It's his 16th birthday. And Sirius and Remus, they end up, like, kissing. It was, like, it's a moment. And the very... very next morning, everyone is sitting at the table and they're talking about how, like, they're all so hungover. And James makes a joke to Remus about how, like, all the girls like him. And that because Remus is, like, basically everybody. He's a good guy. So, and he's the only one not actively trying to flirt with everybody. So, like, everybody, like, all of the girls around are, like, he's friends with all of them. And James makes a joke about that. And Remus kind of jokes. And he's like, yeah, like, I'm the Casanova of Gryffindor Tower. And that's what he says. And Sirius, like, makes eye contact with him for the first time after that moment. Because when they had originally kissed, Sirius and Remus, like, once they stopped, they immediately went separate ways. And then Sirius immediately started kissing some other girl. And he wasn't making eye contact with Remus that entire morning. And then... right when Remus makes that joke, they make eye contact and they're just kind of looking at each other for a minute. And Remus, or Sirius, has, like, the expression on his face, like, his eyebrows are furrowed. He's looking at him like he's upset. And they're kind of making eye contact for that moment. And it's like everyone else is doing their own thing and those two are looking at each other. And it was right after he had made the joke about how he's, like, he's so interested in all of these girls. And it's like Sirius kind of understanding that. And Remus is kind of looking at him like, try me or something. Like, something like, and oh my God.
I didn't realize there was so much drama here.
I'm not explaining it very well. But
so catty.
But I mean it when I say, like, this scene is so unbelievably important. And it is so emotional. And it's, oh my God, it's fantastic. And you have to read it to get it because I think it's wonderful. And I think the representation in these books are so good too. Because especially for, like... for somebody who, like, who is in the closet or is kind of discovering who they are in that sense, like, to see the way that this author writes these feelings and shows the characters and the way that they're kind of coming to terms with things and the way that they're processing this new information and these new feelings. Like, they're teenagers. Like, they're writing about teenagers and they're writing about a time when being queer was something that really was not accepted whatsoever. And she just does a phenomenal job. Assuming that Miss Kingbean is a she, I would say she does a phenomenal job.
The question
job.
I have is Miss Kingbean still, like, anonymous, or is she
still anonymous? This is a funny question because I'm a freak and I actually have, like, a murder board on my wall at home of, like, who is Miss Kingbean? It's terrible. Like, I have the red string up. I have the giant question mark.
That's so good.
I did it last year when I was reading the books and I was like, you know what? I just want to do something. Like, I want to have a mystery wall right now.
Every fall you're like, get back the mystery bell wall back up.
It's my little gay mystery. And
the hunt's afoot again. Who is the bean?
The running go right now is that it's Taylor Swift.
That's insane. No, I don't think that's true. I don't think she's that much of a Potter head.
Here's the thing. The gap that All the Young Dudes was written in was the same gap that she took from writing writing in between, I think it was 1989 and Reputation. There's also so many different lyrics in her songs that have been written after All the Young Dudes came out that are literally like it's perfect, like it perfectly lines up. There is a photo too of her and Travis walking in front of, like, a boat on a dock or something, and the boat says AO3 on it. And you know what was published on AO3? All the Young Dudes.
I can't deal with this.
It was in London, like, it's set in London, and she was writing it while she had an English boyfriend, so she would know the slang.
I don't think she would notice like that much, Kai. I mean, Carissa, I'm sorry to tell you.
She might. And there, it's just so much of the lyricism and the metaphors that she uses in her songs are like so beautifully like intertwined within the books. And I know it's a big running joke in the fandom. And you're like, I'm so far deep in here that I think Taylor Swift wrote an 800,000 word series about
those are thick books. I'm just saying, those are pretty thick books.
That was one of the other things that I wanted to touch on. So the books, the font is tiny. So if you take your regulars, they're a little bit larger than a standard size book, like size wise, like if you were to put it on your bookshelf, I would say the font is probably 8 point. So my eyes are going to be strained by the time I'm 30, that's for sure. I looked at a couple of different books online on how long they are. So for reference, the entire A Court of Thorns and Roses series is over 1 million words. And this one is 800,000. Now, I don't remember how many ACOTAR books there are.
After you look this up, I want to see how many words are Discworld.
Discworld has, okay, there's ACOTAR has 5 books and it's got 1 million words.
Dang. That's
this
crazy.
One is 3 and it has 800,000, so you're close. The entire Harry Potter series is 1 million words. Again, this one is 800,000, so it's close. And then the Bible is 780,000
words. It's pretty close.
So it's
almost on the dot there.
Yeah. The Bible written by the King James version of the Bible.
Hell yeah.
So I will look up Discworld for
you.
Thank
you. I'm a bit of a Discworld freak, if you didn't know already.
Everybody knows.
Thank you.
Discworld word count. It's going to be a lot. It says that.
Is that true? That's crazy.
4.4 million.
That's quite a lot.
Over 5 million words. That's what the next one says. Over 41 books, you had said?
Yep.
That's insane.
Just saying.
Anyways, so I think that's crazy. One of the things that I do while I'm reading these books that I've been working on for a few years now, I have a couple of playlists actually that kind of go over them. But I've been making a collection of different songs that I think either represent the character or kind of represent the mood that when I'm listening or when I'm reading these books. So sometimes I'll listen to these while I am reading them or just, you know, around the time that I'm reading them. So we heard Stray by Yellow House, which I think kind of very much has the vibes that I would put to this song. The next one we're going to listen to is While My Guitar Gently Weeps by The Beatles. And we're going to listen to that one right now. Okay, so one of the really interesting things about All the Young Dudes is that each of the chapters, or almost all of them, start and end with music, which I think is so cool. So they'll put lyrics at the beginning of the chapter, and then, or sometimes in the middle of the chapter, and then it'll tell you what song is there at the bottom. So a couple ones that I just noted of before the show started was Jeepster by T-Rex, Soul Love by Bowie, All the Young Dudes by Mott the Hopple, which is of course the name of the series. That one's very interesting as well, because the you know when they'll like name drop the title of the book in the book?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Like when like singers will do that with their songs and they will have the name of the song as the title song.
That
the
makes
scene
sense.
That has all the young dudes in it is in sixth year. It's in the summer between sixth and seventh, and they're all on this camping trip, and it's a really sweet moment, and they're all sitting by the fire, and Remus is like, oh, like, these are all my friends, and that's when he comes out to everybody, and it's a really...
That seems like the perfect moment after you kind of had that roll credits kind of thing.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it gets sad.
Yeah, and then everyone dies.
And everyone dies, and then he gets accused for murder.
Yeah. so... Anyways, so there's also Paper Bag and I Live Off You by X-Ray Specs and Love Is Just a Four-Letter Word by Bob Dylan and Psychotherapy by Melanie. There's so many good songs in here and I think it's like so interesting. The author has like evidently put so much work into this series, just into the researching in general. And the fact that, as well, the entire series has the possibility to be what is called canon. So canon basically means, like, in the book universe, something that the author has written to be true. So if it occurs in the books or if it is something that has happened, then it's canon. And then if it's something that is, like, a fan theory or, like, a ship or something like that, it's fanon with an F. So the difference would be like Harry and Ginny as a ship versus Harry and Draco as a ship. Harry and Draco is a fanon ship. It was made by the fans. Harry and Ginny is something that actually happened in the book. Like, it's actually true about the story.
Whoa, spoilers!
As if. Okay.
I just wanted to say that. To be fair, it came out like 10 years ago, so I can't say that.
It came out like way more than 10 years ago.
Maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah. Well, not this book, but Harry Potter.
Harry Potter in general.
So basically, nothing in this book series contradicts anything that's said in the official Harry Potter series. So everything that this author has written has the potential to be true. So none of it is contradictory towards the book. Everything that happens in the book, such as like Remus marrying Tonks, everybody dying, all of that stuff is still included in the book. You just kind of get more of a perspective behind it.
You see it from the other
side. And behind everything that happens. One of the things that I think is interesting as well is one of the big like marauder scenes in the book is the prank, which is there's two things. The first one, the prank, is when basically James Potter saves Severus Snape because Remus obviously is a werewolf, and Sirius Black had told Severus that Remus was a werewolf, and then Snape goes and he sees Remus and then James pulls him away. They included that. That's actually a really big and important scene. And it's really, really written well in the sense that Remus is like, he's not mad about like, he's mad on such a deeper level in the sense that the reason why he's mad is because one, he could have killed Severus and he wouldn't have even known he had done it because he's a werewolf. And it actually causes like, he doesn't speak to Sirius for like maybe 6 months over it because he's like, it was a really big betrayal moment. It was crazy. And then also the part in the Harry Potter series where James like lifts Snape up by the leg and they're like taking off his pants with his wand and they're humiliating him in front of everyone, which is in the books. It's one of the scenes that Harry looks and he sees through the pensieve and he's like, oh, my father was a dick. Or no, he's not through the pensieve. He sees it when Snape and him are, it's in the fifth book, and him and Snape are doing like occlumency.
Wait a minute, my father's an asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
So that's in the book too. So like Crikey. Everything, like it kind of lines up. Like they include the stuff that we know about the Marauders from the Harry Potter books in it. And I think it's really interesting how the author was able to write a series without contradicting the real series.
Yeah, or even just going too far beyond the source material itself. Yes. It's able to ground itself while also making its own plot.
I think that's one of the reasons, too, why the book is so revered is because it has the potential to be a real story. In the sense that it is, I would say, widely considered by most Harry Potter fans to be the official Marauders book.
If J.K. Rowling was still a good writer...
Or a good person. Was exactly. She ever a good person? That's the real question.
That's the thing.
So in that sense, it has like the ability to be, it's basically called the official Marauders book by most fans because it doesn't contradict the series and it's a serious book rather than like what you'd really think of as a fan fiction is just sex. In that sense, you think fan fiction and you think, oh, the characters are fucked.
Me, raise his hand. Yeah, me, I unfortunately was a criminal of that specific crime for a very long time. Most of the fan fiction I read for the record was, in fact, including sex. So,
and that's not to say there is definitely still sex in the book, but it's not a book.
It's not a focal
it's
point.
Not what I like. What I say to everybody is that it's not a romance book. First and foremost, it is a book about Remus, and it's a book about his character and his character development and his life and everything. It starts when he's 5. You kind of see what his life is like as he grew up in a it's called St. Edmund's. It's like a boys' home in I don't even know where he lives. I can't remember. It's somewhere in England. Damn. I feel like I should know that. I've read the book.
I mean, every place in England is pretty much the same. So
yeah, it's not in London though. but yeah, so it follows Remus, and I wanted to talk a little bit about Remus as a character himself, because get out.
Yo, special guests. Sports manager, how you doing?
That was Mateo. He said he'd come in and interrupt the show, and I said don't, and he still did it.
Mateo is an enigma. Only comes out when we least expect it.
Oh my god. If anybody was on the website today, you would have seen Mateo's face all over it.
Yep.
But anyways, so Remus as a character, I think it's so interesting because I think in many ways he is so unbelievably unlikable, which you're like, first of all, like, that's crazy. He's so loved by fans, too, in the Harry Potter series. He's one of the most, like, I would say, like, he's a top character for people who are like, oh, this is my favorite character. But, yeah, no, he's a very unlikable character. He is extremely flawed. He says things that are so unbelievably rude. Actually, he's kind of funny. Let me say that one thing. He for a while he like illegally sells cigarettes that he had stolen. Like,
oh, I didn't know he was goated.
Yeah, literally. But he says things that are incredibly out of pocket. He is rude. He's disrespectful. He's hot tempered. He is. What are you doing, Dominic?
I want to see it. Thank you. There it is.
It's alive.
I did not know that someone else pampered with this thing. I thought that was the cheer button.
I think
again.
This is the good one. for Remus specifically.
Yeah. That's good. Sorry, continue.
Anyways, but he's consistently making stupid decisions or saying stuff that is so unbelievably out of pocket. And that's, I think, one of the ways that he's so relatable is the because the way that the author writes it is that she doesn't, like, what's the word? Glamorize it? Like, she doesn't take all of Remus's flaws and be like, oh, these are his flaws, but he's, like...
He's such a good boy,
he's
though!
He's such a good guy. Like, he's such a nice person. Like, look, he has anger issues, and he does all of these things, but he's such a nice guy. No, like, she takes it for what he is. She's like, this is a character who in so many ways has so many different flaws and is such a terrible... He's a bad friend. He's a bad boyfriend. He makes bad decisions. He is selfish. He does all of these things. But she... Like, it's humanized. And it's... You kind of see all the reasons for him doing these things. And it's so... Like, it's such a raw book.
And also it makes it, like, light of the good things about him, too, yes. I assume.
Yes, exactly. Highlights and you them. Can... Oh, my gosh.
Give you a nice little...
And... I think contrast. As a character, it's so refreshing to see something like that, to see a character have real flaws and to actually see their thoughts through those and to think like, wow, I probably wouldn't have done that, but I can see why he in that situation would have.
I thought this is how you just write characters in general. This makes sense.
You would think so, but I think so many, like in so many ways,
oh, no.
I will be reading, I'll be reading a book and they'll say, oh, this is these characters' flaws, and they'll express those flaws, but it'll be seen as like quirky or cute or something like that. And it'll be like, oh yes, like, you know, I do this and I do this and these are my flaws, and they'll romanticize them in that way. And I like this book because it does not do that. It really, like, there are so many points where you do not like the main character, and you're not supposed to, because this is, it's showing you who he is, and it's showing the books from, like, it's a story, it's almost like it's a story that isn't necessarily, like, you know when you have those books that aren't necessarily meant to be read, they're just meant to be books. Like, it's a story that's there, and whether you read it or not and understand it is for you, but it's not written for the reader. It's written for the character. Does that make sense?
It's not written to pander, is what you're trying. I'm assuming what you're saying, right?
What does pander mean?
Like pandering to the audience specifically, like making like Oh man, I wish I could explain it better. Gratify or indulge in a moral or distasteful desire, need, or habit, or a person with such a desire. To gratify.
A pimp.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Pander.
A pimp.
That's so good.
Anyways.
So yeah, pandering to the audience is a mortal sin for the writer, because you're not getting the full character of what like you want to exemplify in this character. If you're trying to write for any of the actual readers in the audience, mm-hmm. it might make your book more popular, but it won't actually make it more deep.
Yeah, that's what I think. I'm like, the author didn't care if the character was liked or not. She just cared that he was represented like accurately the way that he should, and it's fantastic. And oh my god, I could talk literally for ages and ages and ages about this book and about these characters.
Three thick books. I mean, it's pretty big. Not as big as the whole Discworld 41 book series, but hey,
5 million words.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It gets up there. It's up there.
Yes. But yeah, and the book, it really talks about like, it talks about heavier themes, and it talks about like, I guess, well, it's still in that magical universe, so a lot of it is Remus dealing with the fact that he's a half-breed, and he's hated by half of, like, he's hated by half of the wizarding world, how there's, like, there's a war going on, and everybody is kind of, like, it talks a lot, too. Sirius Black, it goes into his story quite a bit from Remus's perspective, but about how he was abused by his parents and about how he has cut marks up his thighs and things like that from when he was abused by them. Anyways, it's a very heavy book and it's incredibly depressing. And I think it's fantastic. And I think it's beautifully written. And I do read it every year. And I do make it my whole personality.
And I think J.K. Rowling is scared of making it canon. I'm putting it out there. This is a hit. This is a call out post.
I think
to...
J.K. Rowling is a bitch.
Whoa! And I mean, you're right.
And I just want to point out that the actors for Remus and Sirius in the official Harry Potter movies thought that they were playing a couple. They didn't know that Remus and Sirius weren't actually a couple until they were told. They thought that they were playing lovers.
Take it. Take it, J.K. Rowling. Take it to your face. No one likes you anymore.
Anyways, so one other thing that I want to mention before we head out for today was just the tabs that I've done in the books. I tab most of my books, but these are my most tabbed books.
They look so pretty. If you could send it to the audience, they would love to see them too. I adore them.
It's on my story a little bit. You can see the side. I would say at least half of the pages in this book are probably tabbed, and there's still so many more that I could do if I had the right color of tabs anymore. But
could you go over what colors you use for specific ones?
Yes, I was actually. you're looking at my document.
I am looking at your document.
So for moments that make me angry are in red, and I believe that's the most of them. I think most of them are red. There's a lot of green. Green is my favorite moments. Funny moments are for orange. There is humor in it. It's not all depressing. Writing is for yellow. So any specific lines. I don't know if there's something that I can pull up on the fly.
Works of literary prose that are just beautiful to read over and over and over again for five times.
Or even like lines or like something that I know is significant in the greater scheme of the theory of the series. I'm trying to pull up. I'm looking through the yellow ones, but none of them make sense with no context.
Maybe one day, maybe next year when you cover this one again, you can find some good examples from the book.
When I'm reading this again. and then, so O moments are in blue. So that's just something that's kind of like when you get like a pang in your heart and you're like, oh, or most of them are just sad.
Let me do a quick reenactment. Oh. Oh,
okay.
No.
Oh. So those are in blue, and then my Remus and Sirius moments are in pink.
Don't forget the green ones.
The green? I said that. Those are my favorites.
So that's how
I tab my books. Every single book that I tab is different. Sometimes I'll just use one color, and I'll coordinate it to the cover, or I'll just do a couple of things. Like, sometimes I'll only do, like, or if I'm reading mystery, sometimes I'll, like, do predictions or shocking or something like that. But that's how I did this one. And Dominic's show, Independent Incidentals, is coming up next. It's going to be starting at 9 p.m. So everybody better stay and listen to that.
And you're in for a treat because I got another guest.
Oh, my goodness.
They're going to be online, so they're going to be in the virtual world.
Oh.
They're like at least 600 kilometers
away.
Can
you give us a hint?
It's somebody from high school.
Wow. Okay, well, I'm going to put on the playlist. It's called a Marauders playlist, and the photo is a meme of Regulus Black, who's Timothy Chalamet. He's fan casted for it, and he's swimming in water, and it says it's not that deep. And if you know, you know, because, well, Regulus Black died because he drowned.
Yay! I mean, aww.
It's actually really upsetting. but I'm going to play some music from this playlist, and, well, I guess we'll see you next week. Oh, no, it's reading week. We won't see you next week, everybody, but we will be seeing you after reading week. Fingers crossed that we're with Kira. We'll see. Let's go.
Kira, you better not flake again. I'm going to have a word with you.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Bye, everybody. See ya. I love you. Have a good night.